In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, again, we're going to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. In the first two words, you know there's going to be trouble. On one Sabbath. One Sabbath. You know that the Pharisees are going to talk to Jesus about healing or doing something that they shouldn't be doing on the Sabbath. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" I just want to look at the words, "the Son of Man." Is that a human figure or a divine figure? I'm going to tell you. You're going to be surprised. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning furnace. One like the Son of Man, a divine figure that appeared to them. And they were kept from burning and even kept from being smelled by smoke. "Oh, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That's going to drive these Pharisees crazy. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Do you know that today? He is not only the Lord of the Sabbath, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the Lord himself. On another Sabbath, again, you're going to see something happening. Jesus is going to do something that the Pharisees are going to be angry with. He entered the synagogue and taught there. There was a man whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against Jesus. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had a withered hand, "Come and stand here." He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy life?" After looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus, because they say he's broken the Sabbath. Let me tell you about this that happened at Holy Rosary. This very reading was read, the man with the withered hand. And you know what happened? There was a man who had taken a stroke, and his left arm was down, and he couldn't move it. So I call his name out and said, "Move your arm." And he moved his arm. In the name of Jesus, I said, "Move your arm," and he moved his arm, and he fell flat on the floor. And it was wonderful. We all were grateful, and we're all happy. We all were praising the Lord. He went to have therapy the next day, and the therapist said that was impossible. He lost his healing. We all saw him move his arm. We all saw that the stroke that he had was washed away in the movement of the arm. But the therapist said that's impossible, and he believed the word of the therapist. I would say when he came, how many of you saw this man move his arm? And the church would raise their hands. But you see, who are you going to believe today? You have a doctor note, it says that you have cancer. Well, you know what? Do you know that there is one that can heal cancer? The big C is Christ, not cancer. Are you going to believe the doctor? Oh, yes, you've got to do everything the doctor tells you to do. That's important. But are you going to believe the doctor? Or are you going to believe God? By his stripes I was healed. I remember when Jean came to me, she was given 3 months to live. And the doctors told her, settle your affairs. And she came to me, and her mother was with her. And I said to her, I'll pray with you. I cannot heal you, but I'll pray with you, believing God will heal you. And every time you come here, I will pray with you, even if it's for a minute. And they came twice a week from North Andover. That's over 10 years ago. She's not dead. God healed her. But if she had believed the report of the doctor, she would be dead today. Whose report are you believing? I'm not saying you don't have chemo. Of course you have chemo. Of course you have radiation. But whose report are you believing? The doctor's report that says you've got 3 months? Or the Lord who said, I bore your wounds and carried your infirmities? I don't know who you're believing. I want to believe the Lord. Now during those days, he went out to a mountain, and what do you think he's going to go to the mountain to do? To pray. And he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Mark says he called those whom he loved. Well, he calls you because he loves you. And these are the names of the apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Now this is an interesting group of people. You have a Matthew, who was a tax collector working for Rome at one time. And you have a zealot who would kill people working for Rome if they were Jewish. So at the beginning, I wonder how many fights they had. But we know when Pentecost comes, they are together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They were together, Matthew and the zealot. They had one mind and one heart. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with the great crowd of his disciples. This is the sermon on the level place. And a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coast of Tyre and Sidon, they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. He's Dr. Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, you're going to find people who want to hear him and who want to be healed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch Jesus, for power came out from him and healed all of them. I tell you, Jesus found it difficult to be alone in prayer because people would find him because they were desperate. Are you desperate enough for Jesus today? Are you desperate enough? He'll never reject you. No one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of what he has given me. Jesus will never reject you. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor. The kingdom of God is yours. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know that they're in absolute need of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now. You will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now. You will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what they did to your ancestors, did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. I tell you, somebody came up to me and says, you know, Father Tom, everyone loves you. I said, that's not true. Oh, that's not true. There are a lot of people who don't love me. And I'm glad, because if everybody loved me, I would not be speaking the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is a dividing line. You're either going to say yes to the Word of God or no to the Word of God. Ultimately, yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. Oh, yes. I don't have only people who care about me. I have people who don't care about me. They would never beckon the door of the church. And we rebuke that spirit that stops them from going into the church. But I say to you that, listen, are you listening? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Now, well, how are you going to love your enemies? I'm going to tell you how. You start praying for them, even one prayer a day. Anyone you pray for, you cannot be an enemy to. Love your enemies by saying one prayer a day for the enemies. You cannot hate anyone you pray for. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. But on his night before he died, he said, love one another as I have loved you, even unto death. It goes beyond the golden rule. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. How? Pray for them. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I tell you, we need to look like the Heavenly Father. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. He has forgiven your sins in the blood of Jesus. We need to be merciful. We need to care for people. Even people we don't exactly like, we need to love them. We need to pray for them. Oh yes, it's the way of the Lord. You see, God and Jesus didn't hate the people who crucified Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus followed his own teaching to the nth degree. To the nth degree. We continue with verse 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I tell you, if you want to learn how to forgive, get a crucifix and sit under it and ask Jesus that you might borrow his forgiveness, because he has perfect forgiveness for people, starting with you and me. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. But let's go with this. What are we supposed to do? Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It also means many. Give, and you will receive. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over into the folds of your cloak. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Are we like Jesus? Are we forgiving? Are we loving? Do we care for our enemies? Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye when you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And it's all about judging again. Judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. We continue. No good tree bears bad fruit. That's true. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Let me tell you about our apple tree in back of the rectory. It has beautiful flowers in the spring, but it produces no good apple. Why? Because no one has ever sprayed it. No one has ever manured it. Every apple is sick. A bad tree bears bad fruit. What about you? What kind of tree are you? Are you a good tree bearing good fruit? Or are you a bad tree bearing bad fruit? Listen, ask the Lord to help you to bear good fruit. Ask Him into your life. Ask Him that you might give Him everything that you are and everything that you have. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man guide a blind person? Will not both fall into the pit? The disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not see the log in your own eye? We continue with two foundations. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them. Acting upon the words of Jesus. Listen. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid a foundation on rock. When the flood rose and the river burst against the house, but could not shake it because it was well built and it was founded on a rock. Then one who hears the word of God and does not act upon it is like the man who built his house on sand, on the ground, without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it immediately fell, and great was the ruin of that house. I tell you, do we do what Jesus says? Do we do what Jesus says? If we do what Jesus says, we are the house built on rock. Who is the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We start with the seventh chapter of St. Luke. Listen to this. This is a fabulous chapter. Why? Because you're going to see a pagan has more faith than the children of Israel. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued much and who was ill and even close to death. When the centurion heard about Jesus, I love that. People hear about Jesus. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue." In other words, this is a good man. This Gentile is a good man. He built our synagogue. Please help him. Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you as I am, but only Jesus, speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Listen to this. "For I also am a man who has authority. When I say to the soldiers under me, 'Go,' they go. To another, 'Come,' and he comes. To my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is something. You see, this centurion had power, earthly power, and he knows that when he says something, it's going to be done. And he knows that Jesus has the power too, a spiritual power. And he doesn't even have to come to the house. He just has to say, "Servant, be healed." He said, "I have power, and I know you have power, so you don't need to come to the house. You can just tell my servant from where you are to be healed." And the servant was healed. I wonder how many of us have that kind of faith. Just, "Lord, speak your word from where you are, and I'll be healed." My Lord, it takes a lot for people to believe. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among them, and God has looked favorably on his people." The word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. What word? That he healed, not healed, but he rose, raised this man from the dead. Everyone's going to be following Jesus now. He does it again with Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. This is amazing that Jesus raises people from the dead. He told his disciples to do the same. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Can you say that today? Behold the handservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have we learned today? Jesus heals on the Sabbath because he is Lord of the Sabbath. He heals because people need healing, and he does good, not bad. A good tree bears good fruit. Jesus is the tree that bears the best fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. If we hear the Word of God and listen to it and do it, we are like the person who builds the house on stone, on rock. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.